Welcome to In His Service Together Radio, in association with the Evangelical Church Alliance International. I am your host, Elman Krupnik. Our featured music artists for our programs are Randy and Marley Brown, Huntley Brown, and Kay Weirho. To find out more information about their ministries, please go to the description page for this show and you'll find their websites listed there. Also, if you'd like to see my sermons that are on YouTube, a link is provided for that as well. Thank you for joining me today, and it is my hope and prayer that you enjoy this time of worship and praise.
So, good morning. Christ has risen. All right, I'm just checking to see if anybody got that right. It is wonderful to have everyone here this morning on this Easter Sunday morning, for he truly has risen. Our call to worship is found in the red hymnal, number 711. Let all the earth worship the Lord. Let all the world's citizens fear. Teach me your ways, O Lord. I would walk in your truth. Inspire my mind to worship your name. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. I would praise you, O Master my God, with all my heart, and honor your name forever. Our Lord and God, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were given existence and life. How numerous are your deeds, O Lord, and all of them done with such wisdom. Your activity fills the earth. Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, beginning with verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they had entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that you have blessed us already during this time of worship on this Easter Sunday. And Lord, you have reminded us to accept the truth of this story in our lives, because it is true. And Lord, I would just ask that you would continue that act of worship in our hearts and minds as we think about you and your love for us, and we say hallelujah. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. You know, as I was reading the story to the children, it just reminded me that how there's so many things in our lives that we need to accept the truth as a child does. And many times within our own lives as we grow up, we lose that sense of honesty and truthfulness in our lives. All of us have had different experiences that at times makes us a little cynical about certain things, about certain institutions, about the relationships that we have, the things that we see on the news, the places that we work. Our family and friends sometimes make us cynical, and we begin to question ourselves and our relationships that we have with others and our relationship with God. I was listening to a song the other day, and the song, one of the lyrics was, the person was crying out to God about all the terrible things that were happening in life. And the person in the lyrics was asking the question of God, what can you do about this, God? And the response in the lyrics was, I created you. I created you. And I think many times we want something to be done about the circumstances that we have in our lives, and we cry out to God because we want to make God responsible for all things. But yet we forget the fact that God did create each and every one of us. Each and every one of us to do something in our lives that remind us of His purpose for the entire world. So when we think about Easter Sunday, and we come and worship on Easter Sunday, and we acknowledge the resurrection of Jesus Christ, even though we come and we honor God and we honor the relationship that we have with Christ, I think many of us still ask that question, God, what are you going to do about it? That challenge that we are facing, that problem that we might have, the circumstances that we see in our world today. I don't think we ever ask that question with really wanting to get an answer. Because if God truly did say to you and to me, I created you, you do something about it. You make the change. You and your world that I have placed you in, do something about those circumstances. You do something about the calling that I've made for your life in terms of the family that you are in, the workplace that you might be in, the situation that you might be in, the relationships that you have. What are you doing? And I think we would respond with embarrassment. I know I would respond with a bowed head and being ashamed that I haven't done everything that I could have done in many circumstances. I decided, and I think we do it on a regular basis, we pass on the responsibility to someone else or something else. But yet, on Easter Sunday, we come, we want to acknowledge our relationship with God, and it is my hope that as we have this time of worship, that we truly do have a childlike faith to want to do something for God, to believe in the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to do something where we are willing to bear the suffering in many ways that Christ bore for us. I don't know about you, but I don't like to suffer. I don't like to experience hurt. But each and every one of us has experienced some type of hurt and suffering in our lives. And if you think about it, it truly does bond each and every one of us together. Now, my suffering and hurt may be different from yours, and it probably is, but yet the experience is still the same. The experience when you and I came to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior is the same. It may be different in terms of how God reached out to us in our life, because each of us has a different journey that God has put us on. But yet, we experience the same opportunity to come to know Christ as our personal Savior. And so when we look at Christ and what He has done for us, we need to remember His entire life, His entire ministry, the truth that He spoke of that even today contradicts many of the truths that we hear about in our lives. Many times it even contradicts some of the truths that we have that are very near and dear to our hearts. And I think that's where God wants us to be reminded of on Easter Sunday, that the truth of Christ's life needs to be exhibited in everything that we do, in everything that we say. And yes, we might experience suffering as a follower of Jesus Christ because we are willing to represent that truth. We are willing to represent that truth in our lives. And we know that we are not perfect. We know and we realize that we have a long way to go. But yet, I think when we examine ourselves and we're willing to acknowledge what Christ has done for us on the cross, then we truly do understand that when we look for Christ to be in our lives, we should not look for Him among the dead things of life. Why are you looking for life among the dead? In our journey, I think we pursue ideas and desires and things that are truly dead, that truly do not give us the life that God wants us to have, the spiritual life that makes all the difference in the world, regardless of the circumstance that you are in, the spiritual life that God wants us to understand, that as we come before God just as we are, when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, when we acknowledge His glory that He has done for us, then the words of John 3:16 make true sense, make true truth. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. If we would only accept that truth in our everyday lives, because that truth does give us the life that God wants us to have, but yet we seem to live a life that follows those things that are dead or dying. But yet God every day reassures us in the presence of His Spirit that He wants us to have life, spiritual life, that embrace everything that God has provided. And then we understand and we realize that we can become an instrument to do the things of God in the world that we are in, instead of griping about those things that should be done and we do nothing about them. Do you do the little things that represent Christ's love in your life? All of us have different personalities. All of us have different things that we are sensitive about. Somebody the other day was talking to me about political correctness, and I said to them, I prefer to think of it as social awareness instead of political correctness. And they laughed at me and they smiled and they said, well, what do you mean by that? I think sometimes when you grow up in a certain culture and a certain way of thinking, you don't realize that other people might be sensitive to certain attitudes and words that completely innocent you might be saying, but yet you don't have the awareness that those things could be hurtful. They didn't know what to say about that, because they kept on saying political correctness, political correctness. I'm sick of political correctness. No, 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 no. It's called social awareness. Because you might say and do things that might be totally innocent, and I might find it offensive. And the same way with me. I might be saying things and doing things I don't mean anything negative about it whatsoever. But you might have a sensitivity to something that I don't understand. And that's all it is. It's just creating that awareness. We're doing something about it because we want to get along better. And our culture is a truly multiple culture world in our life. Look around us here today. A lot of different people here. A lot of different cultures represented. A lot of different ways of living. But yet God reminds us that we ought to interact in such a way to bring Him honor, because we want others to come to know Christ the way that we have come to know Christ. Because in doing so, we realize and we understand that as Christ went to the cross and bared our sins, went through the suffering, through the crucifixion, through His death, was buried and rose again. If we understand that concept, then our lives will be bearing the cross of service to one another. And part of that service is how we speak to one another, how we have conversations with one another, how we look at each other and care for each other. Now, I am not one of these touchy-feely kind of guys. I don't go around singing kumbaya. But yet, I think we need to understand where other people are coming from, to appreciate them. Because guess what, my friend? God created that person the same way that He created you. God sees no difference in that other person. And that's what God wants us to represent to each other. Because as we celebrate Easter together and we sing Alleluia that Christ is risen, it is that cross of service that God wants us to have. And as we embrace it, it may involve sacrifice. I need to tell you that up front. Because there is not a cheap way sometimes to do service. You just have to put it out there. Many times it can be just an inconvenience. Many times it must cost you something. But you know what? The blessing that you'll receive back about accomplishing what God wants you to do will be tenfold, 100-fold, 1,000-times-fold. And many times we don't see what happens down the road with our acts of service that we do, but God knows. That person that you did the right thing for, they know. And I think a lot of times we underestimate those casual relationships that we have. And even though we get discouraged at times and we feel that what we're doing doesn't have a purpose, it does. Because God has called you where you are at right now. God has called you to exhibit that cross of service to the people and the relationships that you come in contact with. And yes, you are not going to be perfect. I am not going to be perfect. But we need to continue to not to walk away from our responsibilities that we have to one another. We need to do the things that God wants us to do. And you know what those things are. And in doing so, we truly do honor Christ this day. When we acknowledge our relationship with Him, when we say to God, I want to follow Your will and my actions to others and not my own will. We take our responsibilities seriously. Because God tells us, I want you to do these things because you represent Me. And when we do those things, we truly do go back to the cross. We remember the first time we came to know Christ as our personal Savior. We come back to that place again and again because it reminds us what our life was like without Christ. It reminds us what our life was like without having that personal relationship. It reminds us what it was like not to have the Spirit of God in our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but somebody personally got involved in my life to lead me to the Lord. They were willing to do something about their life that God had given them. And in the same way, God wants us to do what God wants us to do for others, to bring others to Him, so they too can share in that same relationship of God's loving grace and the forgiveness of our sins. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts for communion, that we have an opportunity here to get right with God, to publicly give a testimony as we take communion together, that we have Jesus Christ in our lives, and that we acknowledge that relationship with Him. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that You have reminded us on this Easter Sunday morning that You want us to continue the message of the cross in our lives. That Your resurrection on this Easter Sunday is not the end, but the beginning of showing and demonstrating Your love for the entire world. God, forgive us when we have not done that, when we have passed off our responsibilities to other people, or we haven't done anything at all. God, forgive us when we didn't take the cross of service to help others. And Lord, we truly want to do Your will in our lives. Thank You, God, for this time of communion and this time that we can share this together. In Christ's name, amen.
Filled with joys I feel, the bliss I share. Of those whose anxious spirits burn, with strong desires for thy return.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Our call to worship is found in the red hymnal, number 721. And it's found in your Bibles, Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not even keep back his own son, but offered him for us all. He gave us his son. Will he not also freely give us all things? Who will accuse God's chosen people? God himself declares them not guilty. Can anyone then condemn them? Christ Jesus is the one who died, or rather, who was raised to life and is at the right side of God. He pleads with God for us. Who then can separate us from the love of God? Can trouble do it, or hardship, or persecution, or hunger, or poverty, or danger, or death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are in danger of death the whole day long. We are treated like sheep that are going to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we have complete victory through him who loved us. For I am certain that nothing can separate us from his love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor other heavenly rulers or powers, neither the present nor the future. Neither the world above nor the world below. For there is nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you've given us this blessed time just to come and to be with you, to fellowship with you, and to worship with you. God, we thank you for this time of dedication that we've had with Elizabeth Rose Krupnik. And God, what an honor it is that we can share in that moment together as being part of your church of Jesus Christ. God, we come before you with the needs and requests that we have in our lives, the small needs, the big needs, all of those concerns that we have. And God, we know that individually you hear our prayers. We know, God, that the Holy Spirit says those things to you in words that we cannot explain the heaviness of many of the challenges that we face in our lives. But God, we are putting our trust and faith in you as we do pray. And God, I would ask that you would always remind us of your presence, of your Holy Spirit in our lives, that you'd remind us to always to seek your will instead of our own will. And Lord, we just thank you that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Amen. Let us have a brief prayer. God, you have reminded me that we are your children. And Lord, I would ask that in your spirit that you'd remind us that all of us are your children, and all of us need to have that openness of spirit as a child does. And God, help me now to present that message in Christ's name. Amen. The other day I was speaking with my chaplain assistant that I work with, and he also is an associate pastor in a church here in the valley, and he also just began a new ministry as a chaplain in a behavioral health care system. And he and I were talking about different portions of Scripture and how at times we seem to be unprepared, but yet God always gives us that inspiration when we preach, when we share the Word of God with other people. Even though it might not be clear at times, usually, and in fact God has never failed in my case and has never failed in his case, to reveal a message that God wants us to have and present that he puts on our hearts. So he was telling me a couple of weeks ago he was out with his Boy Scout troop, and he's an Eagle Scout, and he's very proud of that. In fact, his license plate actually says that he's an Eagle Scout. And so his Boy Scout troop were out in the woods, and it happened to be Palm Sunday, and his wife was with him, and she was asking him, what are you going to talk about? What are you going to preach about? He had the portion of Scripture about Palm Sunday when Christ comes into Jerusalem riding on a colt, and he understood that, but yet he just really didn't have a clear message. And it wasn't that he was unprepared. He knew what he was going to talk about. He just didn't know how he was going to present it. So his wife asked him on Friday evening, well, do you have a message yet? No, I do not. She asked him on Saturday morning, well, do you have a message yet? No, I do not. She asked him on Saturday evening, do you have a message yet? No, I do not. So on Sunday morning when they got up, she asked him again, do you have a message yet? No, I do not. So as they were walking to the place where they were going to have the Boy Scout troop and have a short devotional before they began the activities of the day, the Lord reminded him that God uses children God uses the small to carry out His will. And he actually shared with his Boy Scout troop how God uses them as children to carry out His will by doing the good things that God wants them to do. He reminded these Boy Scout troop that God also uses the small to carry out His will and His greater purpose. And of course, as a chaplain and as a pastor, I thought to myself, wow, that will really preach. I'll have to do that. And so here I am, telling you his story. And many times when we think about that, God has used the young. God has used the small. All through Scripture to carry out His will and His plan. I don't know what the future for Elizabeth is going to be. Excuse me. But I know Grandpa is going to do everything he can for her. And any of you who know me know that I am pretty strong of character when I want to have something done. And so there's no doubt that Elizabeth will get the best of me and not the worst of me. But I think in that sense, God has called each and every one of us to remind us of the children that we have in our lives, to remind us of the small that we have in our lives, that they too can be used to honor God. And many times it falls on us that are older, that are bigger, to give them perhaps that extra measure of encouragement, perhaps that extra measure of strength that they might need to have to carry them through. So all of us have a corporate responsibility to strengthen the child, to help the small and those that are in need. Because all of us are the children of God. All of us have been born of God. All of us understand that as we have received Christ into our lives, that we are part of that greater family. And all of us truly are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And because of that, we should be encouraged anytime we have an opportunity to help the young and to help the small. Because God has called us to do that. Because if we have been born of God, then we are the light to the young. We are the light to the small, to give them that direction and that purpose that they need to have. And it's a responsibility that we all share. Granted, we are not perfect. We make mistakes. We have our own personalities. We have our, if you will, our own issues, things that we deal with, challenges that we face within our daily lives. But that does not mean that we should give up on our responsibilities to each other. That does not mean that we give up on the responsibilities that God wants us to have, even when we make mistakes. Because you and I, if we have accepted Christ as our personal Savior, we have acknowledged the fact that we have received the eternal Word of God in our lives. And that Word is made known and is manifested by our conducts and actions with one another. As the Word became flesh in Jesus Christ and dwelled among us, so you and I share in that same Word as we became followers of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit that is with you today should be manifesting that same word in your life. By our deeds and by our actions, by our conduct to one another, by the responsibilities that we share with one another, by the commitment that we make to one another. Because in that, we truly do humble ourselves and become the children of God that we are to be. There are times when we are adults that we find ourselves in situations, depending upon the institution that we are a part of, where there is a hierarchy, there is a structure. But I am reminded within my own family that regardless of what my rank is in the military, regardless of what my title is in the federal government, my children remind me that I am just dad. And they never call me sir unless they want something from me. And they get a kick out of that. And as I've shared with you in the past, they know that if we have a server that is waiting on us in a restaurant, and if that server calls me sir X amount of times, that they're probably going to get a bigger tip than they normally would have. And we joke about that. But I think a lot of times we forget that when we are in the family of God, all of us are the children of God. And yes, many of us have different responsibilities within the church, but in one sense, there should not be a hierarchy in terms of one being greater than the other. Some of us might have more responsibilities or different responsibilities, but in the eyes of God, we are all equal because we are all His children. And He gives us that responsibility and that duty to carry out what He wants us to do based on His will, based on the fact that you and I are witnesses to the light of Christ within our own lives, and that we are to carry out that true light to others as Jesus did. And we should not be surprised if people that are with us reject that light, reject that message, because they rejected Christ as well. But it does not mean that we stop carrying out our responsibilities that we have with one another and the responsibility that we have with sharing the Word of God with others. Somebody came to one of my chapel services a couple of weeks ago and remarked that how my messages seem to be more evangelistic and more evangelical. Now, I have nothing to compare it to because I don't remember most of my messages. And we joke about that because what's the percentage that you remember? A couple of percent? Now, you're going to remember the dedication of Elizabeth Rose today, but you're not going to remember anything that I preached about. But that's okay. And as I thought about that, I thought, what is the difference? And I think the difference is I begin to realize the greater responsibility that I have in sharing the Word of God with others. Not for me to become more prominent, and as we joke about different things, to become some kind of Christian rock star in terms of gathering a following. But I think the big difference was I felt the freedom to exercise who I was in my responsibilities for the first time in many, many years. And I think the reason for that is I came to understand better my relationship with God. And I think we all struggle with that. We all struggle to have a deeper and a more mature relationship with Christ. As I've shared with you in the past, when a young chaplain came to me and asked me for some wisdom, I told him that I was just beginning to learn the word patience. and what that meant. And I think that really summarizes, at least for me, how my conduct and actions have changed with my family, with the places where I conduct my ministry. As I begin to understand how God has been so patient with me all the years of my life, that realization spiritually, that because of that, I need to be patient with others. And I think in the same way, when we carry out our responsibilities that we have as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to be patient with each other. We need to be forgiving with one another. We need to be loving with one another. Because that's what Christ did. Think about that. When he was here for the time of his ministry, how patient he was with his disciples, even though at times he got a little impatient with them and not understanding who he was and what he represented. And I think in the same way within our own lives, God is patient with us, because when we come to know Christ as our personal Savior, we truly do not understand fully who he is until we begin to grow in the Lord and understanding what God wants to do in our lives comes to from understanding who Christ is in our lives. And we are reminded again and again and again that if you want to understand who I am, come to me as a little child. Come to me with honesty. Come to me with truth. Come to me with all openness of heart, of mind, and of spirit. And when we do that, we honor the commitment that God has made to each and every one of us. We honor the fact that Christ died on the cross for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again. And because of that, you and I have that opportunity to allow the Word of God to be in our lives, in spirit and in truth, to share that same truth that we have come to know with others. So remember this time of dedication that we've had with Elizabeth, and have that same openness before God, because you have given your promise to help raise her in the ways of the Lord. And the only way that we can do that is by keeping that promise to ourselves, to raise ourselves in the way of the Lord, so that we can help the young, so that we can help the small serve God's will. Amen.
Worship is found in the red hymnal, and it's number 708. Now, this is the message that we have heard from his Son and announced to you. God is light, and there is no darkness at all in him. If then we say that we have fellowship with him, yet at the same time live in the darkness, we are lying both in our words and in our actions. But if we live in the light, just as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, makes us clean from every sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and there is no truth in us. But if we confess our sins to God, we can trust him, for he does what is right. He will forgive us our sins and make us clean from all our wrongdoing. If we say that we have not sinned, we make a liar out of God, and his word is not in us. Amen. To the Lord in prayer this morning. Our gracious God, we are so thankful this morning for this time that we can be together to worship you. And Lord, many times we have different challenges each day that are distractions for us. But yet, God, we want to be reminded always of our relationship with you. We want to be reminded of the beauty that is around us, of the good things that you have provided for us. And Lord, we thank you. And Lord, forgive us when those times when we have been complaining about so many things that really, truly does not matter in our lives. And Lord, forgive us when we have prevented you from being in our lives the way that you always should be. And so God, right now we open up our hearts and our minds to you in prayer. We open up our lives to you in worship. And we come just as we are this morning. And Lord, I would just ask that as you hear our prayer requests this morning, that you take into account that we do love you. We do want to have a relationship with you. But God, we are human. We are not perfect. And you know that. And we are so thankful that you hear our requests, even with all the frailties that we have in our lives. And Lord, we offer those requests to you. The things in our lives that are challenges for us, the things that make us fall from your relationship, the things that create problems in the people that are in our lives and the relationships that we have there. Lord, we would just ask that you would just consume us with your presence and with your love through all of those circumstances so we can truly reveal your life in us. And Lord, we think of the needs of other people throughout this medical center, fellow patients, staff members. Lord, we bring those needs to you right now. And Lord, we are so thankful that as we come to worship you, you have already examined our hearts. You have already forgiven us of our sins, Lord, because we have asked you to forgive us. And Lord, we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Romans, chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Through for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful this morning that You have reminded us through the hymns that we have sung, through the scriptures we have read, through the prayers that we have offered, through the things that we have said in fellowship with one another, that You truly do love us and care for us. And God, help us to be reminded of that in all things in our lives, in all the relationships that we have. And help me now, God, I pray, to say those things that would encourage each and every one of us to walk with You each day. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. As you can already tell this morning, that there was a lot of interesting things going in my mind. And as I was sharing with Lynn this morning, as we came back from our trip, and we had a great trip, we had a lot of fun, I have to pare down the stories I want to tell you, because I want to share them with you at the right time and at the right place. A lot of fun things to tell you over this past week, as God has been showing me, and I'm sure showing you as well, different things in our lives that we need to work on. One of the things that I was thinking about this week is, as I try to keep up with the daily news events, I found something very interesting when an actress, an actor, singer, she was commenting on people that were criticizing her for her performance in The Sound of Music. You know what I'm talking about? Carrie Underwood, is that correct? And she actually tweeted that mean people needed Jesus. And I thought that was really interesting, and a testimony, I would say, of what she feels about her life with Christ. And I'd like to take it one step further, is not only do mean people need Jesus, but we all need Jesus all of the time. Because when we think about our relationship with God, we cannot have a complete relationship with God unless we have Christ in our lives. So not only if you are a mean person do you need Jesus, but even those people that may be not so mean still need Jesus if they have not been reconciled already with God through Jesus Christ and having Jesus as the Lord and Savior of their life, as well as all the other things that go with that relationship, the presence of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we are reminded of that this morning, that when we have that relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, that we do have the presence of God in our lives through the Holy Spirit. And of course, one of the things that we celebrate during the Christmas season is the reminder of the peace and the joy and the hope that is provided to each and every one of us through Jesus Christ because of the beginning point of His birth. And that's what we celebrate during the Christmas season. At least that's what we should be celebrating during the Christmas season. And so we have those blessings in our lives. We have the blessings that God has provided for us. The blessings that have been justified for each and every one of us because of what Christ has done for us. His birth, His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension, His promise to each and every one of us that if you believe in Me, that you can and that you will have eternal fellowship with God the Father. The blessings that God has provided to us is something that we should remind ourselves every day. And it's difficult at times to be reminded sometimes because we have so many distractions in our lives that take us away from the blessings that God has provided for us through the justification of Christ's entire life and what He is an example for in our lives. And so we have those blessings. And God tells us that we need to share those blessings with others. That you and I, because of the relationship we have in Christ, that we have peace with God. I think all of us are searching for that peace. The peace in our lives. The peace that God wants to give us in the present. The peace that God wants to give us in the past. The peace that God wants us to have in the future. And we have that peace. So from our past and from our present and from into the future, we need to be able to say that in all those circumstances that it is well with my soul. And that is a challenge. And that is difficult because we live in a world that seems to be getting more and more violent. That seems to be more and more out of sync with the teachings of the Bible. Out of sync with having not fellowship with God, but a fellowship with other ideas, other philosophies. But yet, God reminds us in our relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, that we can have that peace. One of the things that we did this past week is we took the entire family to go see the movie Frozen. And I don't know if any of you have seen it at all, but we all went to see it, all the adult children as well as all of the grandchildren. And I can only give this, if you will, testimony about the movie, that it was a good movie because all of the grandchildren sat quietly the entire time and watched it. So you know, at least for them, it had to be entertaining enough that they all sat quietly and watched the movie. And Lynn was telling me as she was reading some things about the movie, is one of the things that they did is they actually undermarketed the movie, which I thought that was interesting. I'd never heard of that concept before. But what they did is they advertised it as a mere child's movie, so parents would bring their children, and so they undermarketed it. But actually, it is a musical for adults to go and see as well. But they didn't market it that way. Instead, they marketed it through the kids to bring the parents. And then the parents, by word of mouth, have been telling other adults, hey, you need to go see this movie. It is a wonderful musical. It's not just a kids' movie. And because of that, they have had a tremendous turnout at the box office because they undermarketed the movie. And I thought that was really interesting. And I think a lot of times when we look at our relationship with God, we say, God, why don't you market the way that we think that we should market what we believe in, right? If we have to use a business term like that, why shouldn't we market Jesus the way that normal things get marketed, right? In terms of advertisements, in terms of billboards, all of those things. But as I thought about the term undermarketing, I think God wants us to market Him in the same way, and that is by word of mouth. That is by relationship. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't use other venues of social media and television and film and radio and music and different things to put the gospel of Jesus Christ out to the world. But I think one of the things that we have not emphasized enough is the fact that people truly come to know Jesus Christ one-on-one and the relationships that they have with others. So in that, I think, as we have that peace and as we have that joy because of the presence of the Holy Spirit, we truly need to undermarket the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it needs to come from you. It needs to come from me in the individual relationships that we have. That we have that responsibility. And I think a lot of times we overlook that. And I ask myself that question. When was the last time that I actually shared Jesus Christ with someone? I asked myself that question the other day, and I had to think about it. And yes, I do preach on Sunday, and yes, I do have a little internet radio show that I do, and yes, I provide different words of comfort to people and patients and employees throughout this medical center. But when was the last time that I truly shared Christ with someone one-on-one? Because that is where the difference is. Because there's a lot of expectations that I think people have with clergy. But yet my responsibilities and your responsibilities are exactly the same. In that we need to share Christ with others. I've heard people say that they do marketplace type evangelism or lifestyle evangelism, and all those things are good. But what's really important, I think, is sometimes things need to be said. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you have friends and family members that may need to hear that? Just as a reminder, just as a gut check, if you will, about their relationship with God. I think a lot of times we leave it up to clergy and pastors and other forms of evangelism, but it comes right down to you and me, that if we truly want to bring that peace and joy to the world as we celebrate Christmas together, it comes from you and I undermarketing the relationship that we have with God and sharing it by word of mouth ourselves to the people that we love and care for. And it might even be strangers. It might even be someone that we just meet for a few minutes, a few seconds, and the Holy Spirit says, "Hey, have you asked them that question?" I know I need to be reminded of that. Because a lot of times I get caught up in all of the trappings, and I'll use the word trappings because sometimes I get focused in different areas where instead I should be asking that question and marketing Christ the way it should be marketed, by word of mouth from me to the individual. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And yet I know that there are times and circumstances when maybe we shouldn't do that, and that's okay. As we shared already this morning and we talked about the picture that is hanging here in this chapel, each according to the dictates of his own conscience. And I think what's important there is, as we have dialogue and conversations with other people, that we also need to respect them as well. We need to respect who they are. We need to respect the things that are taking place in their lives. And I think if we do that, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ will go far further than any of our expectations could ever envision. But just by showing that love that God wants us to show and demonstrate. On Friday, I had an opportunity to sit on an ordination committee council for a young man that wanted to be licensed and ordained. And he actually came over from Southern California and came here to meet with me and Chaplain Butler and Reverend Joel Larson, and we had this committee for him to license and ordain him. And one of the questions that we asked him is, we asked him, "What is your favorite scripture verse?" Now, he had already gone to a Christian college. He had already graduated from seminary. He's already been involved in ministry in his local church. And all of that knowledge and all of that experience that he had, he said, "The one verse that means so much to me is John 3:16. And he said, "You know, I've studied that verse and I've examined it and I looked at it in the original languages," which I always think is interesting because you always have these young men that are studying the scripture in the original languages, which I think is very important. But I don't remember any of the things I learned in seminary regarding the original languages. But he does, because he just graduated from seminary. And he talked about how important it was, the word "so," that God so loved the world, and what that meant. And in the original languages, he was sharing that that whole word of "so" means that God loved the world so much. So much that for him, that was the most important scripture verse in his life. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So much. So much. So much that he has given us that peace and that joy that he wants us to share with one another. So much so that you and I, as we stand in the grace of God, that you and I can have that security of our relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And because we stand in that grace, grace gives us that opportunity and provides that ability that we need to have to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. We do so not in our own strength, but we do so through the strength that is provided to each and every one of us in the relationship that we have through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in doing so, it is with that ability and that strength and that courage that we rejoice in that hope that has been provided to us. The hope that makes us confident about what we believe in. The hope that as we share it with one another, we glorify God in all things. And we identify with that glory. Not for our own personal gain, but because we are under conviction of what God wants us to do, and that is sharing Christ with each other. And because of that, we rejoice in the birth of Christ. We rejoice in His life. We rejoice in His crucifixion. We rejoice in His death. We rejoice in His burial. We rejoice in His resurrection. We rejoice in His ascension. Because it is through that that you and I can have confidence in what we believe in. Confidence in what we believe in, that we are willing to share it with others at the right place, at the right time, as the Holy Spirit leads us to share that. Our confidence is not misplaced in our relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because you and I have experienced His love. If you have never experienced God's love in your life, through the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because God wants you to experience His love, to experience it with all of the challenges, to experience with all the different things that takes place in our lives that we struggle with and that we have to work through. God wants you and I to experience that love. As we look at past events in our lives, God wants you to experience that love. As we look at the present events of our lives, God wants you to experience that love. As we look to future events in our lives, God wants you to experience His love. And because of that, you and I have nothing to fear. You and I, as we experience that love, we sense the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And because we have that presence, you and I can show the blessings of others. Because you and I have been reconciled to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. You and I have been made one with God. And that is a blessing that God always wants us to share. The fact that we have access to the throne of grace. Because at one time in our lives, we were powerless, we were ungodly, we were sinners, and we were enemies of God. But that all changed when we came to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, when we understood what God did in demonstrating His love for each and every one of us by offering His Son, Jesus Christ. And we celebrate that birth. We truly should rejoice that because of Christ's birth, He came to bring peace. He came to bring joy. He came for all of those mean people. But He came also for you and for me. And it is because of that that you and I can go and share the provision that God has provided for everyone. Because God truly does love the entire world. And he loves the world so much that he allowed himself to become man, to experience life as a man. In the complete process of birth, of life, of crucifixion, of death, of burial, and then the completeness of our relationship with him through the resurrection and through the ascension, which reminds us that you and I have the same place with him. And it is in him that you and I can share the blessings of the peace and the joy that we have. That you and I can share the hope that God has given us. Because it is with that hope that you and I need not be afraid of our past. We need not be afraid of the present. We need not be afraid of the future. Because the hope that we have is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.